Okay, good morning. We're going to change hats, but not by much. In fact, I don't have a hat on, but he does. Patrick Doyle's in the studio with us today, and Patrick is a local area counselor. The number to his office is 301-5500 if you want to make a private consultation appointment. That's 301-5500. Number to the studio if you want to talk to him, 776-5368. And listening friends outside the immediate area, join us toll free at 1-800-373-5368. Hello, big guy.
How are you?
You got an A on your hat for action.
No, it actually ultimately stands for the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, you're trying to keep the dream alive?
Yeah, somebody's got to, because I pulled one out last night, but I'm a huge baseball fan.
Are you?
Yeah.
You like the hot dogs or the game?
I like the game. I'm a big baseball fan. I love the game. I love the nuances of the game. I love the pace of the game. I love...
Really?
It's just really a cool game, yeah.
So what's your favorite team besides the Atlantans?
I don't have any other favorite team. There's no other team but the Braves.
Oh, that it?
That's it.
Okay. And the last time they were at the playoffs in the World Series?
Well, they've won 14 division titles in a row, but they've only won one World Series in the last 14 years. But, you know.
It's time.
Hey, I was their fan. I've been a fan of the Braves since I was a kid, which means I was a fan of a team that finished last place more often than any other for decades. So, you know, I'm glad to see a little success. I've been in the cellar a long time.
All right. Well, nice to see you. And nice to see your hat. Nice to be seen, right?
Yes, it is.
What are we talking about?
Well, I wanted to pick up a little bit on the end of your conversation with Bob there, just about leadership for just a second. I had some Proverbs I wanted to read. Mm. And then that leads kind of into what I wanted to talk today about, is about men. I want to talk about men and what our role is. And you know, one of the roles God's given us is that of leadership. And I wanted to kind of wanted us to kind of think about for a few minutes what how we're doing with that. What are the consequences of us not doing well with that? And where does that lead? So here's some scripture. We plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. Mm. So it's His power. A good leader motivates, doesn't mislead, doesn't exploit. You know, in politics, we could use some of that. Mm. God cares about honesty in the workplace. Your business is His business. Mm-hmm. God leads, good leaders abhor wrongdoing of all kinds. Sound leadership has a moral foundation. Hmm. There's no way around it, folks. Good leadership comes from a relationship with God, because there's the only moral compass known to mankind.
Well, what's the scripture, and I'm paraphrasing, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice.
That's right.
When the ungodly rule, mm-hmm. people groan.
That's right. That's a proverb. Good leaders cultivate honest speech. They love advisors who tell them the truth.
Hmm. There you go.
An intemperate leader wreaks havoc in lives. You're smart to stay clear of someone like that. So there's sound wisdom from the scripture about what to look for in a leader. You know, somebody who is not quick to anger, somebody who surrounds himself with sound, honest people, somebody who has a moral foundation. I mean, if somebody doesn't have a moral foundation, their belief system is up for grabs. It can change with the highest bid. And that's exactly what God's getting at here. You know, without the moral foundation being the standard, now it's just politics.
Yeah, the word Christian has become a phrase. It used to mean something.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, now it's just something you say in order to...
it's not always good anymore either.
Well, it's that, but it's just... I'm seeing, quite frankly, non-Christians throw it out there and say, well, yeah, I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, guess what? You just neutralized me. You've made me a judge if I respond.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't do that. See what I'm saying? So
yeah, I do.
It's been trivialized.
Mm-hmm. So as we look at this in terms of leadership, and we're today's, you know, primary day, you think about who are you going to vote for to be in leadership over you? You know, I think that we don't take that very seriously a lot of times. But people have power. People, you know, have the power to write laws that govern how you can live and how you can't live. So it's really important. But if we go the next level down, God has made it so that men are the leaders of the family. Okay? Now, When I say leaders, I don't mean they're the lorded overers of the family. I don't mean they're the dictators of the family. I mean that they have, in Christ, much the same way Christ was, they've been called to be servant leaders, giving themselves up for those they love, okay, as a way of leadership. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about today is how are we doing, guys, with being leaders? Because here's the deal. I'm not going to be able to get away with not being a leader because it's going to directly impact how my kids view God. It's going to directly impact how my kids understand culture. It's going to directly affect all these things with my kids. Okay, so my leadership responsibility has long-lasting imprint. It also impacts my wife. It also impacts those people in my circle of friends. So have you ever been friends with somebody who has had a marriage that dissolved?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How did that affect you?
Well, the scripture says no one lives by himself or dies by himself. Mm-hmm. So no matter what you do, it affects people.
That's right. And so here's one of the big myths that we live under is that it really doesn't bother anybody. It's really no big deal.
I think the bigger lie is that, oh, well, the kids are young. It won't bother them.
Yeah, well, I'm here to tell you. It does. So one of the things I want to talk to men, and again, I know men I feel like men a lot of times get beat up around this, but I'm not trying to beat anybody up. What I'm trying to do is encourage men to do the things that will help them avoid this temptation. It is men, we live in a time when there is temptation galore. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've seen destroyed over sexual sin. When I say sexual sin, I mean affairs, I mean pornography, I mean abuse, sexual abuse of children, of other people. This is a huge problem in our culture, okay? It's just one. We haven't talked about men who are violent. You add up men who are violent with men who are sexually stuck in a sin or trapped in a sin. Now you're talking about a lot of people. You're talking about subsequently lots of kids who are being damaged. So as a brother in Christ, and I see a brother who's struggling, I want to reach out to him. You know why? Because you know what? If he doesn't get some help, he's going to hurt a lot of people. It's my job as a brother to restore him gently according to the scripture. But what I see happen a lot of times is men, we get a little freaked out because we got our own stuff going on, and then we kind of watch from a distance and say, well, I'm glad I'm not that guy. But that has a huge negative impact on the church, has a huge negative impact on me. So as a member of the body of Christ, the church, I've got to get involved. Well, guess what? If I'm strung out of my own sin and I'm out of control, am I going to get involved? No. So what happens is leadership gets diluted. So now there's three guys in the church who are doing everything. Or there's, you know, four families, or, you know, the work gets shouldered by very few people because everybody's sort of eaten up with stuff. So what's the answer to that? We have to get back to the scriptural mandate to confess our sins one to another. Okay? That means you have to have some love in your heart and not judgment. You know, if you spend, and I'm not talking about, oh, just love everybody. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about appropriate love that has boundaries, that has consequences. If you confess a sin to me, like adultery, there's a consequence. I don't institute the consequence. Your sin does. By you taking that action, you have initiated consequence in your life. Now, thank God that He is so immensely gracious that He could actually take your ugly, wicked sin and turn it into something good. Only God could do that. I've seen Him do it in marriages. I've seen Him do it with kids and parents. I've seen Him heal those things. But the vast majority of time what I see happen, and this is one of the things I'm driving at, is that sin happens in a Christian's life, and then they don't go to church.
Hmm. Yeah, well, first thing that goes is praise.
And they don't fellowship anymore because they're ashamed. Mm-hmm. They don't fellowship anymore because they don't trust the church. They don't fellowship anymore. So then what happens? They get disenfranchised. Maybe they go to another church, but they have bitterness about this thing over here. Why? Because somebody did them wrong? Maybe no, probably because they failed. they did something wrong. And rather than allowing the church to love them back into fellowship, they bail. Well, how can the church heal if that's the case? So now they bail, they go to another church, and now they got these people over here who are hurting. And they wonder what's going on. Did we do something wrong? No. The person committed a sin. And rather than being restored, they run away. So now everything sits. Nothing's resolved. So now the next time something happens, now it makes it just that much easier to run. So that we never really get under authority. And I mean that in a good way. And I know there's been a lot of abuse. The shepherding movement went over the top. And, you know, there's places where people have to have, you know where they work approved. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of abuse of that. But in a healthy way, you know, we have to become the body. And this is one of the things you're talking about. If the body gets together and becomes unified, what kind of power would we have in our culture? What kind of power would we have with our kids? You know, I need help as a parent. I need other families to help me. If I live in isolation, what am I going to do? How am I going to get that help? So as men, guys, we gotta start. At some point, we have to start developing some honesty with some other men who are not going to judge us. They might tell us the truth and it might hurt, but they're not going to run away from us. They're going to bear our burdens in a mature fashion.
I have personally, this is just me.
I know what you're going to say, but I want you to say it.
Okay. I have a real problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you've been burned, you don't trust anybody.
I understand that. But that's we have to get past that. Yeah. It's possible. I'm living proof. It's possible to do this and not get burned. So if we don't, what happens is we continue to live in isolation. And then the other thing is the beautiful gifts that God's given you don't get utilized and passed on to other men who need them.
Good stuff. All right, let's go to the phone. Hi, Kenan. You're on the air with Patrick Doyle. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you very much. I just want to comment, Patrick, on what you said about basically that if somebody commits some type of a sin, you know, perhaps a sexual sin, and they leave the church. Well, on the flip side, and I've seen this happen once, that was one of the most disheartening things I've ever seen, was a young couple that was a good friend of mine, probably 10, 12 years ago. They were engaged to be married, and they were a very strong Christian couple. Well, unfortunately, they had sex before marriage, and they were convicted of it. They actually went before the congregation, which you can imagine how strong they'd have to be to do that, and confessed their sin in front of the congregation, and the church released them, basically would not let them come back to the church after that. And now this young man is actually a pastor in Northwest Oregon up on the coast, and a fantastic pastor, but you talk about disheartening,
right?
And rejection. Yeah. The church is just as guilty as the folks that commit those sins and end up leaving the church. And I'll just get off the air and let you guys talk about that.
He brings up a good point. Yeah. I don't know where the boundaries of grace are, but I have seen this spiritual abuse to the point where you just want to go drive a truck off the cliff, you know. I mean, really? I get them. You get them.
I know. It's very real. What Kenan is talking about is very real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tragic. But here's the problem. I believe the reason that is allowed to exist is because strong and mature, well-versed men in Scripture are not standing up, or they don't exist. In that church, if somebody with strong, good knowledge of the Scripture and a deep, intimate relationship with God, they would have stood up and said, "What in the world are we doing? This is not restoration. This is not biblical. It's not biblical to kick somebody out who's repentant. No, we can't do this." But that's not happening. So this stuff goes on, and people stack up, and the pain stacks up. And that's what I'm saying. It's the same in the political arena. If we sit by and do nothing, I can tell you what'll happen. It's the second law of thermodynamics. Everything goes from order to disorder naturally. Heating and thawing, everything deteriorates naturally. It's the second law of thermodynamics, the most provable physical science law. Okay? So if you sit by and expect things to get better, you are going to get run over by the second law of thermodynamics. Mm-hmm. Everything deteriorates on its own. You have to proactively, intentionally do something to deal with that slow slide to chaos. If you don't...
Well, we do it with our bodies every day. We're trying to do everything we can to stop the aging process of wrinkling and
well, some of us
are. Hair falling out and discoloring everything else. And we spend millions of dollars trying to change that, but we won't even get out and vote to change the landscape
right.
out
or,
there.
Or spend time in an intimate way with God, mm-hmm. which is really where the power comes from. I have so much information in my head that is useless
yeah.
unless, like the Scripture says... It is motivated by the Spirit of God. That is what it gives me the motive to act, in that the power to overcome my own carnality, to get through what I need to get through, to get where I need to be. That is God's work. My intimate relationship with Him is powered by a great and overwhelming loving response to His goodness. When I really contemplate the gospel, what God has done in making me right, in making me perfect, that is a great motivator. But you know, I'm going to maybe step on toes. I'm not trying to. I'm just walking. and I think one of the problems here is we've lost the gospel. It has been watered down. It has been misunderstood. It's been retranslated into something that's friendly. And if you just believe in Jesus, everything will be okay. No, my life got a lot worse when I believed in Jesus because all of a sudden the light was on. I lived in the dark all my life until I met Christ, and then all of a sudden He gives His light out. And I'm like, put that thing away.
Mm-hmm.
I like darkness, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Scripture says that men love darkness. And we do.
That's well put.
Yeah. And so, you know, but here's the thing. When you begin to really understand when you start to see Him as He really is, I love it how it puts it in the message in Romans 12. The best thing you can do for God is to respond to what He's done for you.
Mm-hmm.
My life should be a loving, passionate response to His overwhelming goodness. And that's the motive or the motivator, the driving force behind me getting honest with my brother, behind me confronting my brother. And I tell you, it's difficult. There's mm-hmm. no doubt about it. There is a price.
Mm-hmm.
But the reward is worth every sacrifice, every pain that I feel. And I desire to be involved in situations where people are broken or hurting. I look forward to it. I know it's my calling. Okay, it's not everybody's calling. Everybody's not supposed to do what I do. But everybody's supposed to be lovingly confrontational of their brother who's caught in sin. If we as men get a hold of that, our country will change. Not because we're trying to change our country, but because we're changing ourselves. Jesus said, take the log out of your own eye first before you remove the speck from your brother's. So what I'm saying here is, do you have a log in your eye? Are you living in isolation? Does anybody know who and what you are? Or is that something that's reserved for only you? Do you connect with your kids? Do you connect with your wife? Are you guys living parallel lives in the same house? You might be in the same room, but your mind is a million miles away. Where are you at? You think that your family has no impact on the culture or the church. You're wrong. We as men are given responsibility to lead. It's not an option. mm-hmm. As believing men, it is our responsibility to lead our families first and foremost, which is what? The cornerstone of our culture.
All right, we're talking to Patrick Doyle. He's a local area counselor, and he does seminars. He can come to your church, mm-hmm. and he also does a private practice. The number to his office is 301-5500. But the number here today, if you want to join the conversation, is 776-5368. Mm-hmm. Or toll-free for listening friends outside mm-hmm. the immediate area, Wairika, Roseburg, all around. You can call us toll-free, mm-hmm. 1-800-373-5368.
So when Kendon called, and, you know, he talked about the church who threw that poor couple out,
mm-hmm.
I think to myself, why didn't somebody, maybe they did, but I'm thinking, why didn't somebody go to the pastor or the leadership and say, have you lost your mind? What are you doing? Where is that kind of leadership? Because that's what Paul did to Peter. He said, dude, what are you talking about? You can't go back to being a Jew. You can't go back to circumcision. Come on now. You got to remember what Christ said, man. Stop it. And there was a confrontation because Peter was off target.
Well, you know, it's so interesting. I get, and you do too,
mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to get less. I'm getting out of this counseling business.
It's more for me.
it is. It's God bless you. God brought you into my life. But what's so interesting, Patrick, is I would say a majority of the people I get through the years to my office and uh-huh. send them over to you is people who have literally been wounded by the church. And I'm not trying to bash the church. That's not it at all. It's just that it seems like the church is more interested in holding to some doctrinal guidelines that have become their distinctive for their denomination than they are just loving people back into the kingdom or loving people mm-hmm. and affirming them through the mess.
Right.
I mean, all of a sudden, certain sins are unredeemable, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. now you're branded, now you're out.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I'll tell you one reason, because it's a whole lot of work. To walk neck deep with someone else in their problem is a lot of commitment. It's a lot of work. And this is the thing that I see a lot, is that nobody's really willing to be inconvenienced. No one's really willing to go out of their way to get involved. It's a lot of work. It's emotionally costly.
That it's true. It's a lot of work. And once you get into somebody's life, it's taxing.
Right.
And
you
it
know,
is really taxing. Right. Let's get a couple phone calls in here, and then okay. I want to respond to this question we have on the screen.
Okay.
Is it Kurt?
Yes. Good morning, Perry and Patrick.
Yeah. Yeah. Good morning, Kurt.
I hope I'm not going to get off the subject, but on the news this morning about the 17-year-old boy that killed his friend in a car wreck,
uh-huh.
and he's going to be going to jail, the first thing that came to my mind was Senator Kennedy. Why wasn't he not put in jail for what he did? He abandoned the scene.
Oh, well, you're way off
target. No, but I'm just saying, our political system.
Well, okay.
But I'm going to the Christian part.
Yeah.
I am now going to a church where I'm able to share things that I've learned through K-Dove Radio.
Good.
And I also went to a Right to Life convention up in Wilsonville and met the Schindlers and got to get their book and talk to them about Terry. So I'm just calling. Thank you for K-Dove. I agree that the churches have let the society down. We're not taking a stand for Christian principles.
And I would say it's not the church. It's me. It's not the church. It's me. I am the church. The first place it starts is with me. It's really easy to sit here and blame other people.
But you know what? We don't... It is. It's easy for us to point a lot of fingers.
Right.
I think this comment that I have on the screen here helps us maybe bring this into somewhat of a landing. And
right.
It talks about couples, for whatever the reasons are, they choose to walk away from themselves.
Right.
Let's say a man walks away from a family, or even if a woman walks away
right.
from... And it's happening. I mean, it happens all the time. For some reason... We don't get out of our pews and go mm-hmm. put our arm around these people and bring them back. We mm-hmm. just let it happen. Why?
Okay. Well, one, like I said before, one reason is because it's hard. People resist. I also know that sometimes when you go to somebody who's caught in sin, they're not so easy to deal with. They're angry. They don't want you in their face. Get away from me. Who made you judge, jury, and whatever?
Right. Right.
They're defensive.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's not because somebody may not have tried. It's that we have to stick with it. And here's the thing. I've never spoken to anybody who is in denial. And if you're going to leave your wife, you have some level of denial. That's just the bottom line. And so if you're going to leave your husband, you have some level of denial. No one I've ever talked to in denial, when I told them the truth, their reaction was never, oh, gee, thanks. I appreciate that. Usually people in denial are like, what are you talking about? That's not true. What about this and what about that and how come this? And rah, 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 rah. You got to be willing to walk through that. And see, this is the thing that... This is where, you know, the scripture says the wounds of a friend are faithful. My friends have wounded me with the truth. And I am grateful for that wounding because that's correcting. I never get corrected without a little bit of pain. So it's a twofold thing. One is, here's my main point. One is, I believe that because we have a lot of believers in the church today are spiritually immature. They don't understand the scripture. They don't have a personal understanding of God himself. They don't have an intimacy with him that allows them to have motivation beyond themselves.
I think when you get involved in somebody's life, you have to be mature enough to accept the fact mm-hmm. that there is a high probability that they're going to reject you.
That's right.
And they're going to reject you after they've come through the storm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the hardest part. Mm-hmm. I understand mm-hmm. rejection going into helping mm-hmm. somebody.
Right.
The hard part is being rejected after you've walked them mm-hmm. through the thing. And right. the reason they reject you is because They know that you know.
That's right.
And they don't want you around because mm-hmm. they know that you know, and they want that away from them.
They want to be done with that.
They want to be done with that.
And see, that's spiritual immaturity. When the Scripture is clear to say, don't forget. Don't forget what happened. Don't forget what God did. Don't forget how He brought people alongside. Don't forget how He moved. And so, you know, that immaturity continues, and that is my main concern with a lot of folks that I see throughout my time as a counselor. What I've seen is that a lot of people really do not understand the gospel. I explain the gospel to people on a regular basis, weekly. People have been saved 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Really don't understand the gospel in a personal way. I know they know it in their head. They can explain it to you from their head. They can tell you what it, you know, what the process is and all that, but they don't have a personal, what one theologian called an apprehension of the gospel. It's one thing to know it, but Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, but Lord, Lord, and he'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. What's important there isn't that you knew him.
Mm.
Lots of people know Christ, but they don't know him.
Mm.
Because he doesn't know them. They know about him. Who could not know about Christ? I mean, only in the most remote places of the world, people don't know who Christ is.
Well, let me ask you this. Why are some people harder on other people than they would be themselves?
Well, I think it was like, for me, the great example is in my own life. I was the most self-righteous when I was the most screwed up. When I...
Why doesn't that surprise me? Oh, that's profound. Well,
so,
okay, that makes sense.
Yeah,
go ahead.
So,
I had to process
okay.
that.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, when I was the most vigilant, mm-hmm. I was hiding the most. Mm-hmm. But when God broke me and he really revealed himself to me and I saw who he was and just a little glimmer, I mean, like Isaiah, I fell face down and go, oh, wow, mm-hmm. you are amazing, God. Why would you even put up with me? I don't get this. And it moved me from a place of I'm gonna show you, I'm gonna do the right thing, I'm gonna be to God. I am so grateful to be breathing. I am so grateful that you are in my life. Now when I approach that brother, I have my own brokenness, so I got no judgment for him. I got no judgment for anybody. I am not fit to judge. Only God is righteous enough to judge. That's not me. So judgment is usually an indication of pride.
Mm. Patrick Doyle, local area counselor, and I know you're booked to the gills, but you're always taking
yep.
new folks.
I'm working it in.
And he'll come to your church and do seminars and just about
That's right.
anything you want him to do a seminar
right.
on.
That's right. Doing and one tonight.
Are you really?
Yep.
What
yep.
are you doing tonight?
I'm doing the Campus Life Mentors Banquet.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, his number to the office is 301-5500. Give him a call if you want to have him come to your church. Thanks, bud.
Thank you.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
You can hear Balance Point weekdays at 8 o'clock on the Dove.